Tonight's episode of The War Room is brought to you courtesy of the Boston Battle Bunker. That's 69 Penn Street in Boston, Lincolnshire. The biggest selection of bolt action in Lincolnshire. They do competitions, games, and will see to all your needs. In fact, he's got one of the biggest selections of bolt action in the UK. So guys, get down to the bostonbattlebunker.co.uk. Hello, hi everybody, it's Paul here at The War Room and thewarhq.co.uk. And Monday podcast, back to a normal routine, you'll be glad or not to know. And I'm down at friends at the moment, being looked after wonderfully, but the weather is boiling and my hay fever is kicking in, which you will no doubt hear in the voice quality. For my apologies for that. And what's hitting the scene with me this week? Well, seems like a while since I've actually played in a competition, would you believe? Next competition I've got coming up is at Barrage in Stafford. That's in a couple of weeks' time, and I've decided to play on the Axis side. It's an Axis versus Allies one, as you'll know, apart from my Japanese experiment, which I've been doing and now finished. The Japanese have been retired and been sold off to pastures new, so I can't be coaxed back into the Japanese at the moment. So I put myself down for the Axis because they were short of Axis players, so I'm going to play Germans. I've toyed with Germans before, pardon the pun, but never actually played them, so looking to play a German list. Not quite sure what I'm going to take. It's 1,000 points over 3 games. Had a quick look at the scenarios. I think we're playing meeting engagement, point defence, and the one where you have the D3 markers and one in the centre. Can't remember what it's called now. So it'd be quite handy to have a reasonably mobile force heavy on infantry. I was thinking, of course, of taking the old generic Panzer IV because it's fairly cheap. It's got a 2-inch template on it, so slightly anti-troop. At 1,000 points, it's got as big a gun to deal with any tanks that we get. It's got the old Tiger Fear, because it's possible we'll have quite a few infantry armies. If anybody's looked at the scenarios, I'm guessing. Although there might be one or two mech armies. So I was looking at taking a Panzer IV regular, and in the artillery spot, I would like to take the quad flak gun. What's that, the flak Verling or something? Good anti-aircraft for the American players. It's good anti-infantry, good anti-light armour. So that could be quite handy. But if I'm pushed for points, I could swap it out for the old Howling Cow. Nice cheap points. An extra dice and always something to occupy the enemy snipers. Get rid of quickly, I guess. So we might look at that. Troop-wise, I was thinking of maybe doing a Harrison, for those of you that follow the War Room. Maybe taking a couple of squads of assault engineers with flamethrowers. Maybe make them big squads and see what I can do with them. What I'd really love to do is take all half-tracks, but I'm not too sure I've really got the points. But I could always take a half-track with a Panzer Busch as transport for an engineer squad. Panzer Busch is always quite interesting. It's a 1-inch template, so slightly anti-infantry. If you can get it up close to any armour, it's a +6 pen within 12 inches, which could be quite handy. Yeah, probably take a few LMGs in the squads. Wonder whether I should take a couple of inexperienced squads as the main troop choice, maybe, and take, thinking about taking an inexperienced captain or an inexperienced first lieutenant to give us a few dice to play with on the old snap to it. That could be interesting. Not sure what else, really. Maybe Should I need to take a Panzer Schreck? Probably don't need it. I would probably have enough anti-tank and infantry in there. Maybe take a sniper, because I do like the sniper. Sort of thinking about taking, I think one of the last levy lists allows you to take two snipers, and I would quite like to take two snipers, because I do like my snipers. So, anyway, we'll see how that works out. That's what's on my mind at the moment for a couple of weeks' time. I'm going to be at the show, so I will have my trade stand there. But fortunately, my good pal from Dave's War Games, Dave himself, is going to look after my stand while I play, or what my excuse for playing is. So that'll be pretty cool. What else have I seen? Ooh. Well, yeah, a lot of things I listen to on the radio are not necessarily bolt action, but are quite history related. So I was wondering what podcasts, etc., you guys listen to which are World War II related, maybe not perhaps bolt action related specifically. So for example, I listen to Dan Snow's History Hit, which, fair enough, covers an awful lot of history, but also covers quite a lot of Second World War history. I think at the moment his actual channel is concentrating on the Pacific War at the moment. So that's one of the things I listen to. I also listen to another podcast, the WW2 podcast, which goes a wee bit more into the history, and I like to pick up tidbits and things for that. So I'm wondering what podcasts you guys listen to out there, as I say, which are maybe World War II specific rather than bolt action specific, you know, whether they go into the histories or something else. It would just be interesting to hear what you guys listen to. So another post that went up asking for suggestions for World War II films to watch and listen to while somebody was painting. Now, personally, I don't really listen to film or watch films as such, because I'm concentrating on the painting. I can't really follow the flow. So I quite like to listen to historical documentaries, which to a great deal you can get away without actually following what's on the screen. But you can listen to as you go along, as you're painting and doing your hobbying. So what history programmes do you guys like to watch, stroke, listen to while you're podcasting? Any of that kind of stuff I would be quite interesting to hear about. Another little tidbit I got, Alan, my good friend Alan from the USA on the west, well, I would call it the west coast, he wouldn't say it was the coast, but on the west side of America there, out in the desert, he runs a little company called GC Minis, which does a lot of MDF work, as well as selling bolt action, various other things, but it does a lot of MDF. Put up a little video which I thought was really cool on YouTube. He maybe put it out as a, actually no, it wasn't YouTube, this was a Facebook post, and maybe he would do a YouTube video or something about it. But it was little advice from a newbie, was how he started it. I think he posted it up in Bolt Action International. And what he said was basically, when he gets a box of soldiers, he's that excited that he gets them all built and all built up, and then he goes to Easy Army or one of the list builders or just pen and paper to start making a list and see how he's going to put his squads and units together. And he's just, warning is the wrong word, but cautioning against perhaps doing this. Maybe the first place you should be looking at when you're just starting out, or you've got a new box of plastic, it's all exciting, but you maybe just want to take a step back and think about what the makeup of the weapons within your squad are. So it goes further than this, but basically, you know, do you need, how many SMGs are you going to need? Are you going to need all rifles kitted out? Do you need LMGs? Are you going to be taking Panzerfausts, if that's an option, to your army? That kind of thing. And do that before you start making them up. I think the case that Alan cited, I think, was when he made up his British paratroops, and he got them all made up, went to the list and found that he didn't have enough guys with rifles, and he had way too many guys with Sten guns made up. So possibly just a wee cautionary tale and a little hint for some of you guys out there who are starting off your armies, etc. So I like that when it came up. I've seen a couple of things for painting buildings. And I saw a guy looking for... He wasn't looking for, he was trying to promote his MDF buildings, which look very good and all the rest of it. And it's well worth looking at, as is mentioned before in this podcast, Dave, from Dave's War Games, his MDF stuff is almost unbeatable. It's not pre-painted yet, Dave, so if you're listening, pre-painted for us, Dave, that would be great. But one that he does in particular is his church, which I've got a friend of mine calls the cathedral. It's quite a building, but it's great for bolt action. It's, I don't know whether Dave designed it purposely for bolt action. I suspect he did. But the church itself splits into multi-levels. I think the main church building splits into two levels. The rooms, the divisions inside the church, you can use it as one big room, or there's clear divides if you want to split it into rooms. And the actual tower of the church comes in levels which you can take apart. I think it comes in about four or five levels. I'm sure Dave would jump on top of me and correct me if I'm wrong there. And it's pretty straightforward to put together, considering it looks like a reasonably complicated building, but it's a very playable building. Sort of thing that if you're using it on a table, yes, it's going to take up a little bit of room, but you're going to have possibly a church yard around it, so you've got a bit of greenery, and then just one or two buildings for the starts of a village, sort of English village, Normandy village, European, Norman kind of village, and you've basically got your table set up. He also does the church in a group, I think he calls it the Town Pack, which is £100 and gives you the church, you get about six other buildings in there, plus walls and I think fences or something. It's fantastic value. Anyway, look it out on Dave's War Games. And he didn't pay for that advert, but I'll make him pay for it. But it was just something, I don't know if all you guys are aware of it, and it's quite handy to know about these wee things at a great value. You can actually put them together and not paint them, and they work very well. But they're fairly straightforward to paint. I would advise with those buildings, taking two or three, get three cans of spray paint and spray them before you actually put them together. And when they put together, they do go together pretty well and pretty neatly. And it's very well designed by Dave. So, less of the advert for Dave. What else is happening? Well, the show's sponsor, which is the Boston Wargame Bunker, I believe has now moved to its new premises. So guys, get down there and support Nick and all the guys down at the Boston Battle Bunker. I am hoping I'll get down there soon. Got a bit of a busy time on at the moment. I've got, I'm busy writing the rules pack for the World Team Championships. So with a bit of luck, we'll have that sort of 99% finalised in the next couple of weeks. So we can get that out to the chaps. There's one or two countries looking to do championships and things to help them with the selection of their team, I'm assuming, are asking for that pack. So we shall get that done. Lots of ums in this show tonight. Shows how unprofessional I am and I need to get better at this. But what else is happening? Well, just starting to book flights for the Arnhem weekend. That'll be the third weekend in September. 20th rings a bell. I'm not sure, guys. But if you go and have a look for Arnhem... Is it Arnhem War Games on Facebook? There's a wee group there. So we're all off to Arnhem. We are going with Chris Brown, Dr. Chris Brown. I should give him his full righteous title. He will be known to bolt actioners through his co-authoring of the Market Garden book. Very appropriate, obviously. And he's co-authoring the up-and-coming Burma book, which is going to be out, I think, in August. So looking forward to that. So we'll be going across to Arnhem in September for a weekend of bolt actioning. Starts on the Friday night of the Arnhem anniversary. And then carries through, we'll be doing some daytime activities, going round, looking at the various reenactments and battle sites that are on. Possibly have a look at a couple of the museums, which are excellent over there in that area. Oh, we're getting some background sneezes there. So it's not just me with the old hay fever at the moment. So we'll be having a look at some of the museums over there. Obviously, we'll have a good look at the Arnhem Bridge and a few more places. And in the evenings, as I say, the Friday evening, we'll have some bolt actioning. And on the other two evenings, we will have even more bolt action to keep the guys organised. I think we're up to about 25, 28 guys coming now. But there's always, I think we might be down to about the last sort of half dozen available spaces. If any of you guys are interested, either get in touch with myself, go to the Arnhem More Games Facebook site, or keep listening on the podcast, because we will be bringing you updates. And when we go on that trip, we'll be bringing you all the news from Arnhem and the chaps that are out there. And no doubt there'll be a bit of fun and banter going on. Other big things that are coming up. Can't think of any off the top of my head. I'm doing one or two shows at the moment. I've got my new... I was going to say my new Facebook. It's not the new Facebook. I've got my new website store up and running, and I'm just about to start adding Bill's Buildings, so a range of 3D buildings and resin cast buildings onto there. That's quite an exciting little project for Bill and myself. And we'll also be putting up Custom Counters, which is a little enterprise between myself and Mr. Brian Forrester. Aloha, Brian. So we'll be putting the custom counters up there. I've had quite a lot of people asking about them. So basically, little counters that can be custom designed to your army for pin markers, tank markers, objective markers, any sort of marker that's circular, we can basically do for you guys. So watch for that coming. So as you can tell, I've got one or two things coming, but something else that will be coming soon. I'm luckily going to be the UK sole UK retailer for Jamie Tranter's, the infamous JT's Warsaw range, which will be coming to us probably in the next 4 or 5 months, I'm guessing. He's just put a wee update up on the Kickstarter page to let everybody know that everything is progressing a little slower than hoped. Fortunately, Jamie's had some close family pass away in the last month or two, and that's held things back. And Dennis, who's one of the main sculptors, fantastic job that he is doing on those, has been fairly seriously ill, and that's just held things back. But everything is now back up and running, and they should be getting the pledge, the bit where you go and choose what you actually want from your page. I can't remember what it's called. That will be going live, I would imagine, in the next month or so. So we'll be able to choose what models and things we're getting. I'll be able to choose the stock for my store, because I'm quite excited to do that. Also, I'll have a look at May 40's website. He's a guy that basically making mainly Dutch models at the moment. I think he's got a few others on there as well. But anybody looking for something a wee bit different, you're looking for a bit of a challenge, play the Dutch. I'm going to be ordering up in the next couple of weeks and getting that done. And I'll be getting another order of Stosis Heroes in. Go and have a look at Stosis Heroes on the website. It's a fantastic website just for the history of certain characters from World War II, characters also from the films, and one or two odd real life characters you'll see in there. If you go to the website, you'll see what I mean. And it's a very interesting, very well laid out website. So that's Stosis Heroes. Again, I need to get a stock of his models in. They're great models for adding a bit of character to your armies. The range is increasing all the time. I think he's up to about 50 or so at the moment. And as I say, increasing all the time. Almost doesn't matter what army you've got. You'll find one or two wee characters there you can use as officers or NCOs just to make your units that little bit different from everybody else's. Or if you want to do a themed unit, for those of you who can remember Hogan's Heroes, he's got Colonel Klink and, oh, I forget the sergeant, the fat sergeant now, and he's got Hogan in there. I'm hoping that we can convince him to do some figures from Alo Alo, so we should see one or two more Alo Alo armies out there. Would be absolutely brilliant. And what else is exciting me in Bolt Action? Well, the big elephant in the room at the moment, I guess, is we're waiting the Africa Corps and Desert Rats to come out. They have been very quiet. When I say they, Warlord have been very quiet. We know it's all happening. And Warlord have been keeping shtum. It looks as though this next month will be quiet for Bolt Action releases. And then I think at the end of this month, they'll start putting up the pre-orders. I think it's going to be a new El Alamein starter box for around about £40 or £50. It's going to have your Desert Rats, some Africa Corps, and those plastic models will be available in boxes either then or shortly after. And we're also going to get some Italian goodness coming that we've been promised for a while. So we're all looking forward to that. And just as a little plus, if you hadn't noticed it anywhere before, if you look on Amazon, it looks as though in March next year, the next book after Burma will be Fortress Budapest. So a little something there for you to all speculate on and get your juices flowing for something new for your Bolt Action armies. So we'll leave it there for a Monday. I've prattled on far enough. You know all the places to get in touch with me. If you need to talk to me, you want to point something out, you want to steer me towards something that should be on the show, just drop me a message, guys, and mahalo for now.